Okay, so, hey everyone, this is Hayden here. I'm just recording a quick intro because these past few weeks have been very disappointing for myself and Nathan. We've run into a lot of audio issues. I've gotten actually absolutely no audio on my end, and then it sounds like he's talking to himself. And then we lost one episode completely. Like, it literally just got completely lost wherever it was. I don't know. It's gone. And this is like a week-to-week thing. So we lost one, bada bing, bada boom. We had upload issues in terms of the audio, like I said and mentioned before. So I was like, all right, well, the easiest way to solve this problem is if I bought myself my own laptop and we recorded that way. Well, we use Anchor to record, which is apparently just absolute shit on a laptop / desktop. Nathan uses his desktop with Anchor, but that's just because I invite him. And apparently to record with two people, and if you're not in person, one person has to be on the Anchor app. The other person, you know, does not. And so I've spent all this money on these microphones, these headsets, these very professional setups with absolutely nothing. So where the podcast is going right now, I don't know. But we're trying our best to get you everything. So again, this is just a very quick, thanks for listening, and we appreciate it. So we're working as hard as we can to get you the show. Because we like doing it, we want to do it, and we've missed constantly doing it every week. We don't purposely miss weeks. It's rough, and with social distancing going on right now, even though I'm fully vaccinated, Nathan's not. And plus, I don't want him taking anything home to his children in case I'm carrying something. Just trying to be respectful on both sides. So, yeah. Well, like I said, we're going to think of something. Hopefully. If not, no big deal. But like I said, we're still here. And we'll be around. So thank you. Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Mainlining Movies. Heidi Ho, it's your Ho Hayden here. With me, as always, is Mr. Nathan. Nathan, say hello.
Hey, what's up everybody?
So, probably heard in the intro, we have been hellaciously fighting and killing ourselves, quite literally and figuratively, and whatever way you can possibly think of, illy, to get this episode to you. It's been terrible. It's been awful. We've had upload issues. We've had audio issues in terms of you can hear Nathan just fine. And it's not like, oh, Hayden, you sound muffled. Oh, Hayden, you sound like you're in the womb. I have no audio. It was an entire 2 hours of Nathan just talking to himself.
Sadly, not the first time.
Yeah, see, exactly. So I think we've got it figured out. In the intro, you did hear me in my disappointment about how my laptop was pretty much useless. However, it's not. Because we figured out how to cheat the system. And what that is your boy here has got two Anchor accounts for two separate podcasts. I just logged into my opposite one, covered up my phone real good, hosted it, and here we are. So if you hear any echo, shut your freaking mouth. I don't care. Just kidding. We'll fix that if there is any echo. Anyhow, it's been a while. It's been a long time.
Oh, wow.
It's been a while.
Starting this episode off just like, I don't know what's going on. I think we're just amped up.
I have had a monster and a half since 10. So
well, not just that, but like, I mean, I feel like it's been forever since we've gotten to release an episode. And it
really has been, yeah.
And you know, it's I kind of feel like we're working doubly hard because the episode we're about to do is actually one that we recorded last week, and it's one that we lost the audio to basically. We're gonna re-record it, and I'm hoping that we actually do a better episode. I don't know. I thought we did pretty good last week. Maybe we can deliver a better one. Also, we did a review of Black Widow a couple weeks ago that we had some audio issues with that one as well. We're gonna try to salvage it and hopefully release that at a different time. I know it's late. You know, it's kind of a couple 3 weeks after Black Widow's been almost released. But we
actually next week, if we get to release it next week or sometime this week, it'll probably be a month. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? It's fine. It's fine. We can.
People come here to listen to us.
That's right. That's right. They want to know what we thought about Black Widow. So here we are. We're doing this episode for the second time. Hopefully it turns out good this time. And we hope to release our episode on Black Widow if we can get that audio salvaged in any way, shape, or form. Because we know that you guys care what we think about everything and nothing at all.
They actually care a lot about what we have to say, actually. So
just so you know.
Yeah. All right, so I do want to start off with this, though, because we tried to mention this in the episode that we originally recorded for this. I just want to throw it out there to everybody who cares. And by that, I mean, you guys probably don't care, and that's completely fine. But I just want everybody to know and respect and understand. Listen, we appreciate all of the listens that we get. We do. We want nothing more than for you guys to listen and love the show. However, we can see the analytics of the show, obviously. And we have seen and noticed that the episodes that are very highly touted and listened to are the episodes that are horror film centric. We are not a horror film podcast. That being said, we're not being ungrateful. We definitely appreciate all the listens that you can give us. Just give the other ones a chance, please. Like, we have plenty of episodes that are like literal single digit listens, while we have other episodes that are almost reaching the hundreds of listens. And it's, again, the episodes that are horror movie centric. Listen, horror can't be your whole personality. It's not a personality trait. No offense to you. Please don't stop listening. Just give it a chance. We all will be focusing on a lot more stuff other than horror. Don't stop listening because a horror movie's not on the show that day. We get it. Like, not Marvel's not for everybody, although you're wrong if you don't like it. but it's just one of those things where Halloween is not a personality trait. Horror movies are not a personality trait. Everybody who's somebody likes horror movies, you know, even if you just watch them to get a little taboo in terms of you're like, oh, this is supposed to spook me, and I don't really like things that spook me. Ooh, that was scary. I'm turning it off, and I'm 15 minutes in. Or if you're part of the more extreme crowd that's like, listen, horror movies are the only thing I watch because I hail Satan every day. Like, okay, you know, that's fine. Please give us listens other than that. So anyhow, I just wanted to get my little rant over. It's not that we're unappreciative of the listens. We definitely appreciate them. But we're going to have to parent you and pretend that the non-horror-themed episodes that you punks don't want to listen to are your green vegetables. You have to eat your green vegetables. So for the love of this show, eat your freaking green vegetables.
All right. Hey, let's calm down there. Hey, just to add a little bit on there. Like, I know sometimes it doesn't sound like we're working hard, but honestly, we do put a lot of time and effort into these episodes. And again, this is not us complaining. This is not us trying to make you feel bad for listening to the horror episodes. We get it. We love horror movies as much as the next person. But we really just want you guys to understand that we started with the horror genre when this whole thing started, but we didn't really set out for this to be a horror movie podcast. It doesn't mean we're not going to continue to talk about horror movies, but we're going to talk about everything. Like we're going to talk about movies. We're going to talk about TV. We're going to talk about, you hear us talk about our jobs. Like this is kind of our show. It's our way to release, what we can't spend all day at work talking about. And, really we're trying to have some fun, but we do put a lot of work into this and a lot of time. We try to, we move our schedules around and sacrifice some stuff. So this is not, belittling anybody who only has listened to the horror movie episodes. We're just asking that you give some of the other episodes a chance, and maybe it'll turn out that you like what we have to say about Marvel or the Friends reunion back a month ago or whenever we did that episode. Just we got a lot to say.
We have a lot to say, and it's us. It's literally us. Like, there's comedic moments in every episode, so just listen.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, though, guess what we've got free this week?
What? Hey, is it a horror category?
Yeah. We're talking monster films.
We are talking monster films.
And we're talking just straight monster films this time. Not aliens, not vampires, not werewolves, just monster films. So we've got a great episode ahead. A little different than what we've done in terms of questions. So, we got that going for us. But again, to reiterate, listen to other stuff or I'll murder you. Also, there's a very special surprise at the end of this episode, so just keep listening for that. I already pre-recorded that myself, checked it out, the audio checks, we're good. So that's already good to go. All right. Why don't we get into this? Let's just do it. Let's hammer this out. Let's get this out of the way. I'm making it sound like a chore now, but you know what, people? It's 11 o'clock at night, and why aren't you in bed? That's right, because you're listening to the greatest podcast this side of Illinois.
Well, it may not be 11 o'clock whenever they listen to
the
it.
Side of Rushville.
It's on your way to work. That's the case, we hope we make your car ride a little more enjoyable. I like to listen to podcasts, other podcasts on my way to work.
I listen to them at work. So
yeah, it passes the time. It
does.
It is what it is. But yeah. So you want to get started, or you want me to go?
Well, I feel like we always start with you. And that's not like I want to start myself. Like, let's just change it up a bit. Let's just change it up. All right.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Hey, this is, we're back. We've got a fresh start. We've got, we got new equipment. We've got better audio. We're going to change things up. Questions that we're going to ask each other and comment on. So, yeah, let's switch it all around.
All right. So, by the way, you're going to start. You're going to ask me these questions.
Yeah, just so you know, I'm taking over as host too. Like, if we're switching everything around, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Season two, baby, we're back. That's what we'll do. This is just season two.
Yeah,
season two is going to round out the horror films, and we're going to go straight into something else we haven't decided yet. So leave us alone.
I'm more of a follower, not so much a leader. So I need you to be the host. You're a way better host than I could ever be. You're good at the intros. You're good at all the fun stuff that leads into the episode. And I'm good at not really a whole lot, but you let me be a part of this. So that's all I ask,
This is the brainchild of the both of us. All right. We both let each other be part of this.
Yeah. We try. Anyway. All right. So yeah, you go ahead and start. Where are we at here?
So, like I said, we're talking monster films this week. And I believe you've got the questions in front of you, since I'm not allowed to currently because those are on my phone, which is in the other room covered by a bunch of stuff. That way you can't hear that echoing because, again, we cheated the system to get you this great audio today, and hopefully you can hear me in your freak in here. Just like that. So anyway, so I'm going to start with probably I'll start with my favorite traditional like monster film. And I actually from the original recording that we did, I'm changing it up just a little bit. Ooh, so
exciting.
Yeah. So I'm cheating when I say this. Now, you remember what my original two were. Those did not change. I'm just reversing which one's my favorite, which one I think is the best. That's all.
Oh, all right.
So I'm cheating a little bit when I say it's my favorite monster movie, monster film, because it's actually a short film inside a larger film.
Now I'm intrigued.
See, exactly. Everyone else is intrigued. Even though Nathan knows what it is, you should also be intrigued. So here's the thing. There was a little movie that came out not that long ago that you might have heard of called Creepshow. Does anybody remember that movie?
I didn't hear anybody answer, so maybe not.
You sick people. So anyhow, there's a little there's a little film called Creepshow. It came out in 1982. It is an anthology film directed by George A. Romero, written by Stephen King, making his film screenwriting debut. Now, there are little films inside this film. Like there's short films inside this movie. It's basically an anthology that tells five terrifying tales inspired by the EC horror comic books of the 1950s. So all of these are done by the same people. Now, my favorite horror film is, again, the short film inside this movie. And that is going to be the segment or the short film called The Crate. Now, if you haven't seen this film, just take a pause on our podcast, but definitely come right back, because if you don't, we'll hunt you down, we'll find you, we'll kill you. Just take a pause and just go watch this film. Just watch The Crate. I think The Crate is the first skit, or like the first short film. It's not very long. None of these are very long. They make up like an hour and a half movie, if that.
Something like that, yeah.
But The Crate is my favorite monster horror film because it's ominous. It's there's a lot that's left to the imagination. And that's what I like about it so much. Now, I do have, like, I'll start with this. I do have a fond memory of this film. Two fond memories, actually. Number one, I was never being watched as a child, so I watched this movie very young. Probably should not have watched it very young, because this movie was terrifying. But my favorite memory, I would say, is green pepper steak, which is like one of my favorite dishes ever. You ever heard the term G for P? If you guys know what that means, guess what? I'm G for green pepper steak, okay? So figure that one out. Anyhow, the smell was just filling the entire house. My two brothers and I were in my oldest brother's room, just sitting down, watching this movie. And I remember just how freaked out we got when we saw just this particular thing. Which leads me to the scariest part of the film, and it's easily like the quote reveal of the monster. Because it's the eyes at first. The eyes are what really get you for this thing. Because what is it? It's not a werewolf. It's not a vampire. It's not an alien. It's a beast. It's a monster that lives in a crate. And I will just say this. Adrian Barbeau plays like a great, just atrocious, you wish she dies in, spoiler alert, she does, character in Wilma, who's married to Henry. And the age gap is ridiculous because Henry's played by Hal Holbrook. So let's just say that Adrian's is still doing stuff. She was actually just in American Horror Stories, the drive-in episode, which is actually pretty good. Anyhow, she plays such a great, hateable, dislikable character that you're hoping she dies the whole time, but not in the way that you see her die, which is you get the full-bodied reveal of this thing. And it's terrifying. Nathan, have you seen this film? In particular, the short film.
I have. I have to say, it's been a long time, and I don't really remember a whole lot about it. But I know I've watched it. So, yeah. It kind of came back to me as we were talking about it. Even last week, we were recording the first time. But yeah, I do vaguely remember some parts about this film.
So the I will say, like, initially, like, because I believe this is on the questionnaire and the bullet points I wanted to go over. I will say the first time I ever saw this film was the time that terrified me the most, for sure, but it still gets me to this day how terrifying the beast in the crate is. When you see the film for the first time, like, do you have an appreciation of the film? Do you understand it? Did it take you a couple of views to, like, actually enjoy the film? I liked this one right off the bat. It's not one of those things where, like, I had to continuously watch it to enjoy it. Although I did have to continuously watch it to understand what was going on, why it was so different, like, why everything made no sense, stuff like that. And that's just because, again, I was a child when I watched this for years until I revisited it in high school, and I was like, hey, this is pretty good. Like, I like this movie a lot. I understand it's an anthology now because, you know, things like Black Mirror help you understand that. And even before that, like The Witcher books, where it's a compilation of short stories in an anthology because they all connect somehow, helps you understand that. So I got that understanding pretty quickly, and I was like, ah, dang, this movie's so friggin' good. It doesn't have a very high critical score, but then again, what horror movies, unless they're, quote, different or interesting or unique and not based off something, do? But it's currently sitting at, what, a 7 on IMDb? Something like that? Something crazy?
I could look it up if you want me to.
I'm on my laptop. I might as well just look it up. It's actually, yeah, okay, so it's sitting at a 6.9. Nice.
I have to be honest. I don't really... I find it funny because, you know, technically that's what we're doing, right? We're being critics of certain films, even though they're past films. You know, we're taking and breaking down these films. But honestly, I don't really listen to a whole lot of what critics say. You know, because I find that a lot of the quote-unquote professional critics, they like these foreign films and whatever. And honestly, most of the time, it's things that, you know, I couldn't care less about. Now, I will say that Rotten Tomatoes is probably the most accurate as far as, although there are some things on there that, you know, like, have a very, very low score that I disagree with. It's all a matter of personal opinion, but I tend not to listen to critics or look at ratings. If I like something, I like something. I don't care, you know, who else likes it or if anybody else likes it, you know.
So, listen, before we get too far into this and I let you do your favorite, you say you don't like to listen to critics a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
That's fair. But I think when it comes to Nicolas Cage, we should. Now, here's what, hold on, just a quick side tangent. Nicolas Cage is a god-tier actor. He basically admits to being so weird because he knows people love it, and he wants to create his own mythology around himself and be his own mythical god. I'm all about it. I'm already convinced that he is. 100%. So all of his movies are god-tier films. Love them. They're all 10 out of 10, right? Rotten Tomatoes doesn't necessarily agree most of the time.
Yeah.
So you know for a fact when Rotten Tomatoes is giving this movie called Pig a 96, 97, 98%, whatever the heck it's sitting at right now, you know this film has got to be seen.
Yeah.
First of all, it just sounds wild. It's basically John Wick, but with a pig. But Nicolas right? Cage!
You know
what I'm saying?
You know, if maybe after this film, and we'll have to wait till we see it, but maybe after this film, like Nicolas Cage and Keanu Reeves can team up for some kind of weird, like, I don't know, action hero mashup that's, you know, John Wick versus, or, you know, meets Nicolas Cage's character in Pig. Because I'm definitely interested. I actually didn't know anything about it until about a week ago, and I had read an article. It was talking about the Academy Awards and stuff and how that Nicolas Cage is already being looked at because of his performance in this film, and he's kind of been overlooked for a while now, basically, because everything he's done is straight to DVD, straight to Netflix. But, yeah, Nicolas Cage, man, he's got some great movies out there.
All I'm saying is every film that Nicolas Cage has starred in and produced at the same time is in the very high 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. So I will say this. I'm just going to read this off Rotten Tomatoes right now. This was actually posted today. Pig is now the best reviewed live action movie of Nicolas Cage's career. The story of a man and his hammy best friend features an unexpectedly career best performance that critics have embraced. When the Pig trailer surfaced ahead of its July theatrical debut, audiences were baffled. Was this Nicolas Cage movie ostensibly the story of a Pacific Northwest recluse and his stolen truffle pig going to be a revenge thriller like Mandy? Would it be in the realm of recent Rage Cage trademark genre offerings, including Willy's Wonderland and Color Out of Space? Pig, which hits platforms today like Vudu and Amazon Prime, is in fact nothing like those. And what Pig reveals itself to be is perhaps even more audacious, a deeply melancholic and meditative drama with a towering career best performance from Cage as the withdrawn yet symptomatic former chef Rob Feld, who cuts into the dark underbelly of the gourmet dining scene. In our critics' consensus, we sum it up. Like the animal itself, Pig defies the hogwash of expectations with a beautiful odyssey of loss and love, anchored by Nicolas Cage's affectingly raw performance. Listen, this is a movie that I've got to see. I'm going to see it. You know what? I'm going to see it tomorrow. I'm going to see it tomorrow. I'm going to rent it tomorrow, and we're going to talk about this next week. Pig, God-tier film. Nathan, just a big side tangent about my love for Nick Cage. Nathan, you want to talk about your favorite monster film?
Well, before I do, I want to say two things. I guess three things, actually. One,
say as many things. I'm going to drink some water.
One, that was beautifully written. But, like, I think it was more beautifully read. Like, you are, without a doubt, you're amazing. That was beautiful.
Well,
you got a beautiful voice, man.
I wish I had read that in preparation for what I prepared at the end of the episode that I already pre-recorded. I did not do a good job.
Hey, it's all right. My biggest...
I appreciate that, though.
My biggest complaint about this article, though, is... Have the people from Rotten Tomatoes never seen Gone in 60 Seconds? Because that is hands down my favorite Nicolas Cage movie. I know this is supposed to be a monster episode, but like it's kind of turned into a love affair for.
We should just rename this episode the Nick Cage Special.
We could, but anyway, like I actually went and seen Gone in 60 Seconds. I was by myself. I think. There were two other people in the theater whenever I went and seen it. And to tell you how long ago this movie came out, like my mom had to drop me off at the theater. And I went and seen it by myself, fell in love with it. It's one of the movies that I have probably seen the most times. And I honestly, I don't know if it's the car. I don't know if it's, Nick Cage himself. I don't know if it's Giovanni Ribisi's character. Like I love everything about the movie. First of all, it really does have a great cast. Like Robert Duvall, obviously Giovanni Ribisi, Nick Cage, Angelina Jolie. Like the cast is amazing. But I don't know. There's something about like when Nick Cage when he opens up that box after he goes back home and they're getting ready to go on the heist and he pulls out that leather jacket and he's like, I am a bad man. like gets me. Gets me. I got goosebumps right now, man. Like I'm telling you, this
Nick
is
Cage, Nick Cage is the best.
He is. He is. I mean, and we like we don't have time, but we could talk about Raising Arizona, which I think is maybe his most underrated film of all time. But you know, we could also talk The Rock and anyway. We're gonna go back to monsters because if not, we're gonna stay on Nick Cage the rest of the night and we can't do that.
That right there was the classic, highly touted, greatest Marvel villain of all time, the Eraser, coming in to set things right, erasing Nick Cage from the rest of this episode. He came in, he did the little crotch chop, the Eraser, and now we're on to back to the horror film. So, what do you got?
All right, so you did your favorite first, so I'll do my favorite first. I think I skipped
the best.
Yeah, no, I think I cheated a little bit for a couple reasons. One, the movie that I picked could actually be in a couple different categories. It could be considered a comedy because there's definitely comedic aspects to it. It could be considered a love story, you know, because there's a romantic twist in the movie. Also, it is second only to Die Hard as the greatest Christmas movie of all time. So if you haven't figured out what I'm talking about yet, all I need to tell you is don't feed them after midnight and don't get them wet, right? Oh, yeah. So the movie I'm talking about, obviously, is Gremlins. And I think that it's cheating a little bit because it's you know, it's classified as a horror film, but it definitely got some comedic aspects to it. But
sorry, I had to stand up for just a second.
Oh, you're fine.
So my cellular device, which is hosting this, because I cannot do that on my laptop, is in the living room, covered up by a bunch of stuff. That way, like, you know, nothing, like, you don't hear any echo, nothing like that, right? Was I the only one that heard anything just now?
I didn't hear anything. I heard you stand up and stretch or whatever you were doing, but...
No, I didn't stand up and stretch. Like, I just stood up to look out my bedroom door into the living room to see if anybody came down to mess with us.
Oh, I didn't hear anything else. So if there's a ghost in your house, that's on you, man. That's all you. You're the only one that hears it. You're the only one who gets to deal with it. Maybe.
All right.
It could be Nick Cage showing up to tell you thank you.
That's how he just appeared. Like I'm just hearing like a little bit of like something turning on in the background. But like I said, like my phone is in the living room hosting this. I've got a couple things on top of it. That way, like, you can't really hear anything. And as soon as I heard that in the headphones, I like stood up and I walked over to the door. So like, if I hit anything, sorry about that, by the way, I didn't mean to interrupt, but like, just want to make sure I'm not going crazy. Cause it's still covered up.
I mean, it's possible that you're going crazy, but hey, it's all good. That's what happens, you know, when you record at home.
Recording at home, and just so you guys know what we go through, what's the timestamp on that so I can check that out just before I post this?
Somewhere around 36 minutes, probably 36 and a half or so, I would say.
All right. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
Continue. No, you're fine. You know, hey, last week when we originally tried to record this, my kids actually came into the room where I was recording. And I thought I had the door locked where they couldn't get in, but they found their way in. And Hayden got to hear a little bit of what it's like to have three kids that are four and under. You know, and it's my life is a never ending ball of crazy. But anyway, back to Gremlins.
I'm sorry.
Gremlins. No, you're good. Hey, you know, we gotta have something to fill the time slot because, you know, our
keeping people spooked, man.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but like, I mean, what we're really talking about, is it really that good? I don't know. I think our side tangents and our
that's what makes the show.
You know, I think that's what makes the show. I don't know. I'm not really good at talking about movies, but I am good at pretending to talk about movies while talking about other things and mentioning a movie once in a while so people think it's about movies.
Yeah.
Did that make any sense?
Yes, it did.
All
right. Those of you who are confused, you just don't get it. You just don't understand.
I think I confused myself a little bit, but hey, it's all good. It's all good. We're rolling along here. We've covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time. You know, we've talked monster films, we've talked Nick Cage, we've talked spooky sounds that Hayden's hearing. You know, it's a lot of good. A lot of good quality stuff in this episode. I'm proud of us tonight. So number 10. at the end of this episode,
we got to tell the story of that, and we've got to tell our special announcement for the week of Halloween.
Yeah, definitely. So, when we get there, we'll talk about why we're always mentioning number 10 and Tom Selleck's mustache. The Gremlins, 1984, starring Zach Galligan and Phoebe Cates. It was written by Chris Columbus and directed by Joe Dante. Now, if you haven't seen the film, the premise of the movie is Zach Galligan's dad wants to get him a Christmas gift. And he buys him these gremlins, but he's told not to feed them after midnight and make sure you don't ever get them wet. Because if you do, all hell breaks loose and it will not be good.
There's two problems with this, though. Number one, it's always after midnight. And number two, what if there's a female Mogwai that sees Tom Selleck? They're going to get wet.
Anyway, that was a really lame, dirty joke. But hey, it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you got to do it. So, sorry for anybody who's offended by listening to this. It is late at night, and we are tired. We did work earlier today, so
yeah.
You know, we've probably both been up since what, like, you know, 5 o'clock. It's I think I did doze off earlier for like 30 minutes or so, but anyway. Anyway, Gremlins. So, I mean, when did I first see this film? Probably, I don't know, junior high age, maybe. Maybe not quite that old. Probably somewhere between like fourth and sixth grade, I would imagine. So, you know, somewhere between like 9 and 12 would be about the first time I've seen this movie. Instantly loved it. I mean, what's not to love? It's great. And actually, both movies on my list here tonight are instant, instantly, fell in love with.
Instant classics.
Yeah. I mean, really, they are. I think that while, you know, you like the film, I think it's like this with any time you see a film as a kid, you may not fully appreciate the story. For instance, The Goonies, right? So as a kid, you're just like, man, that'd be so cool to go on a treasure hunt like that. When I watch it as an adult, and I still do watch that movie quite a bit on rainy days when I'm not working, you kind of realize that, like, that treasure hunt, while it was cool, like, it meant everything to those kids because they thought they were never going to see each other again. And it was just like one last adventure. And really, they were just trying to save their home. So, you know, it's things like that you don't fully understand as a kid. So yeah, you know, seeing this movie as, you know, as I've gotten older, appreciate it a little bit more. I would say there's a couple scenes in this movie that would be classified scary. Although, you know, I don't know that it's really like necessarily terrifying in the sense of like it's not going to make you, you know, jump out of your skin or anything like that. But definitely.
It was supposed to, though, right? Like its intention. Yeah. Not just for kids, but for adults as well. Like that was the intention, but it came out and people just could not take it seriously. And yet it became such a huge hit because people didn't know it was intended to be scary.
Yeah. Yeah. But the scene I would probably pick scariest, although kind of like in The Crate, where you kind of root for somebody's death or, you know,
somebody's untimely demise.
Yeah. So Mrs. Deagle, who is played by Polly Holiday in the movie, she is not a nice person, and the gremlins end up, like, you know, messing with her chairlift that she has that goes up her stairs, and it eventually, like, flies up the stairs at about, you know, 90 miles an hour and throws her out the window.
Classic.
It's funny, but it, you know, like, it's one of those things that, like, it's funny to watch, but if it happened to you, it'd be, you know, absolutely terrifying. But the scene was made to be scary. So that's why I'm kind of picking that as probably the scariest scene of the film. You know, on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10 Tom Selleck mustaches, it's gonna get a 9.5, just simply because it deserves it. So now you can go ahead and talk about what you think is the best monster movie of all time.
Nicolas Cage, whatever he does next.
Basically. Enough said. Mic drop. Show's over. Good night.
Show's over. Good night. Story behind Tom Selleck, number 10, Magnum P.I. no, actually, okay. So, in my opinion, what I think is the best traditional monster horror film is actually a little-known film. And I have a little interesting bit of trivia for those of you who have seen the film that know what I'm talking about, and I'm not entirely crazy. Also, the sequel to this sucks. Don't ever watch it. So,
don't you hate that?
Yes,
because, like, honestly, like Gremlins 2, nowhere near the quality of the first one.
I will say though, like, Gremlins 2 is good. It's just not as good. Yeah,
but like, I just hate when they make a movie and like the first one is so good, and it's just like, another movie. Although
the perfect film.
Although it's the third installment of the film, when they did the original live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they should have stopped after Secret of the Ooze. Like, number 3 is just, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'll still watch it because it's the Turtles.
So what you're saying is the Ninja Turtles trilogy is Godfather, basically. First two are good. Second one's arguably better than the first one, and the third one's awful.
Yeah. Or you know, like in a series of movies, it could be Rogue One, but you know, you still sometimes watch it just to, like, if you're gonna watch, you know, like chronologically, or you know, if you set out to watch like a full series of films, like sometimes you throw it in there just because it's in there, right? You know. So yeah. Anyway. Continue. I don't know.
I don't like Rogue One. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
I'm not trying to make you angrier than you already are.
He's trying to give me an aneurysm.
You're already mad. Like, you're already yelling at people who eat their green vegetables and stuff. Like, I don't need to make you madder than you already are. So just to continue, what's your monster movie?
Yeah, I forgot it was my turn, and I was no, I, it's not even like a rib. I'm like, I completely forgot it was my turn that I was talking. It's all that Nick Cage talk, man. No, but okay, so my movie is a little known movie, and if you have seen it and you don't like it, shame on you. Don't ever listen to us again. We don't need your listen. We don't need the negativity in our life. You should probably just
listen to another podcast.
Yeah. Listen, like, give them your support. It's actually called CHUD, which is, what is it, an acronym? Was that what that was? Anyway, it stands for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller. Let me just tell you, like, let me just read the description of this just freaking metal movie, bro. A bizarre series of sudden disappearances on the streets of New York City seems to point towards something unsavory living in the sewers. Listen, this movie's wild, okay? Came out in 1984. Bang. Wild. Peak Magnum P.I. time, okay? All right? We're also off the cuff of Return of the Jedi, which had Ewoks, which were little disgusting, terrifying-looking creatures. And CHUD basically bounced off that, right? So, also, for those of you who have seen the film, John Goodman is in this film. He makes a little cameo as a cop in the diner.
Interesting.
Yeah. Look it up. Look it up right now. Everybody, just go look it up right now. I'll wait.
Hey, while you're waiting, like, you really think Ewoks are disgusting?
I think Wookiees are better, so yeah.
I think they're like cute little like teddy bear looking things.
All right, so let me ask you this then. All right, to pull a question from fanboys, would you rather sleep with a Wookiee or an Ewok?
That's just a weird question, man. Like they're not human. Would I rather sleep next to? Like we're not talking.
We're talking. The stuff. Yeah,
we're not going down that road. Now, I would probably feel more protected sleeping next to a Wookiee. Like we're talking, just like having a Wookiee in the house or whatever, you know, because they're like big and strong. Although, you know, Ewoks, they got their own, you know, they got their own style of fighting.
You tell me. Okay, first of all, just listen to this. Just listen. Just hear me out. Okay?
Where is this episode going, man?
I'm letting people look up John Goodman and Chud. Listen, just hear me out. You've probably already seen it by now. You're just waiting for us to get back on track. Let's hear me out real quick. Why did the Ewoks have a dress that was already able to fit Leia unless they killed a woman prior to her being there? All right. Anyway, so. It's disgusting, terrifying.
Maybe they're really fast seamstresses.
That could be. So my earliest memory of this film, actually, I think I was in like third. I was in third grade, I believe. Definitely should not have been
2012, right?
No, 2005.
Yeah, I was close. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Seven whole years off. I was close. So this movie is actually like, I feel like this movie should be bigger than it is. It's definitely a cult classic. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It is very good. It's got a lot of the 80s campiness to it, but it's just the best monster movie because you get everything that you want in a monster movie from it. You get a terrifying looking monster that could be your next door neighbor, could be your cousin, could be your ugly ass sibling. If you got one, I know I do. Shout out to you, Brendan.
It's funny because he's your younger brother, so like that's
it's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
All is
fair in love and picking on younger siblings.
Exactly.
I'm lucky enough to be the oldest of three, so I, you know.
See, so you could just literally just abuse the other ones.
Yeah, basically, I'm good. plus, I'm my parents' favorite. You know, I'm the good kid. None of that is true, but
I'm the worst kid, by the way. I'm everybody in the family's least. Anyway, back to CHUD.
You're the middle child. That's what happens.
Yeah. Literally, that's what happens.
Anyway.
People think I over-exaggerate. No, it's 100% true. So back to Chud, though. Chud is a movie where the sequel's awful. Let me just tell you the name of the sequel. Chud 2, Bud the Chud. Yeah, it's terrible. They went far too campy and comedic with it. It was awful. This one's got the right amount of cheese to keep you into it, right? Hey, listen, if you're watching an 80s horror film, let's be honest, even some of the greats, they all have those really cheesy and campy moments, right?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
You're already trained for the ones that are like the big 80s horror films. You're already trained to just be like, bam, campy. I know it's got to be in there. There's got to be some hints, right? Chud's got it all. Okay. It's also got horror. The scariest part of this film, just like any monster film, is always the reveal. When you first see Chud for the first time, you don't know what to make of it. Now, I will admit, it took me, like, so the first time I watched it, I was definitely terrified. And I was like, dang, that was good. Like, I immediately recognized it as a good film, and I did love it and appreciate it. But the problem is, because I was so young, I didn't actually know what they were going for. I didn't actually have, like, I couldn't actually take, like, I say I appreciated it when I was younger in terms of, like, how scared it made me and how much I could just rewatch it constantly and still be scared by it. But I didn't really appreciate the effort that was actually put into this film to begin with until like a little bit later on. But I think that's how everybody is with anything ever. They don't really understand or appreciate the effort until after the fact or like when they fully get a grasp on it. But I immediately fell in love with this movie. It's not a movie that it took me multiple watches to enjoy. I enjoyed it immediately. And my fondest memory would probably be the very first time I ever watched it because my dad was like, hey, I'm throwing this on. Watch it. You know, like, shut up. Go to sleep. Whatever. He was going to sleep. It was late at night. And he put it on, and he was like, here. I was like, what's this called? And he goes, Chud. And I was like, Chode? Again, had no idea what that meant because I was a stupid kid with a big old head and a snotty nose in third grade. So I'm over here saying Chode, and he's like, no, it's Chud. And I'm like, that's what I'm saying. And then he kind of gave me that stern look with the Han Solo Harrison Ford finger point, the PowerPoint is what I like to call it. And he was like, don't ever say that again. And obviously I had to look it up a couple years later or ask somebody at school, and I found out what it was. And I was like, wow, that would have been a much funnier movie. Instead, what I got was horror. So
I think that's a different category.
That's a much different category of film.
Anyway,
we will never be reviewing those, by the way.
We will not. We will not.
Or maybe we could. No, I'm kidding. Special NSFW. The mainlining movies review Chode.
That's not right. I'm sorry, Dad. I know you're listening to this. I'm sorry. I apologize.
He's probably getting a good laugh.
He probably is. He probably is.
Probably he's just like, who raised this boy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody, I'll tell you that right now.
You know, just when I think that I've, you know, come close to making him proud, like
I go and do something like this.
Just when I think, anyway, go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's about it. You know, like that's really all I have to say about Chud is like I am a huge movie person. And so when I talk about movies like this, I try really hard not to, like, spoil it or give it all away or talk about it so much that you don't want to see it or that, like, you think to yourself, well, now I don't have to watch it. No, like, go watch this film if you haven't seen it. Go watch it now. Go look for John Goodman in the diner. I promise you, you'll see him like, hey, that's the guy right there. It's him. It's Dan Connor.
Dan Connor.
But no, it is good. There are some terrifying moments in this film. And like I said, it's always the reveal. The scariest part of any monster film, in my opinion, is always the reveal. And the reveal of Chud, for some reason, when I was a child, it just terrified me. And it holds up pretty well with, you know, the practical effects that they used for the film. Just do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Go watch it. Hell, let's give it a new name. Let's just call this movie Chud from now on. Why not?
you know, why not anyway, it's 2021, we can make up whatever we want to, right?
Oh, I just got a great idea. Continue, you go ahead and do your thing.
Okay, so after that fiasco, no, I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm I gotta tell you, man, I'm having fun tonight. This is, I feel like this is good. This is good quality stuff, and I feel like this is a nice episode to be back. I'm not trying to, you know, like toot our own horn or anything, but I just some nights I feel better about a recording.
Not to feel better about a recording. It's just, you know, it's single. Some nights.
Yeah, I know that you're playing around, but that actually worked. And that was a weird way of, anyway. So, you know, I mentioned that I kind of cheated with my first film, in the sense that it's, I mean, it is a monster film. I guess the gremlins are monsters, you know, they're not aliens or anything like that. I feel like it's possible that the second movie is a little bit of a cheat too. In the sense that it's not your typical kind of monster, and although it is scary, definitely classified as a horror film, definitely is a horror film. No, avoiding that. No putting it into another category. It is just terrifying. Oh, I meant to ask you before I continue. On a scale of 1 to 10, Tom Selleck mustaches, How many do you give Chud?
Oh, Chud is a...
You had a hard time saying Chud just now, didn't you?
I did, and it was just... Okay. Chud. Solid, like, 100%. Chud's a solid... 7.5 Tom Selleck mustaches.
All right. All right. I'll take it. I'll take it. Anyway, so... This film that I'm talking about, again, you know, all-star cast here. We got Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss. It's a little movie from 1975, directed by a guy who may have done another film or two, although most of his work is lesser known. Guy by the name of Steven Spielberg, you know, anyway, obviously the movie I'm talking about is Jaws. I consider this
what a
monster.
Cop out,
right? I know it is. I seriously considered changing it up from what it, you know, because we talked about this last week, and I almost did The Ghost in the Darkness. Have you ever seen that film?
I have not.
So it's based on a true story. Now how accurate the movie is, I don't know, but the movie is very chilling. It's not a monster film in the sense that, like, you've got you know, you've got this thing that's like jumping out at you or whatever, but so The Ghost in the Darkness were based on two lions back I think it was like the early 1900s. But the movie stars Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas. Basically, they go to hunt these lions. But these lions were actually coming into villages and snatching people up. Which I don't know if you know a whole lot about lions or not. But one, the males typically don't do the hunting, and two, even though they're the king of the jungle, they're more afraid of humans than what you would think they are. So for, excuse me, for these lions to actually come into villages and snatch people up, it was very terrifying. So Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer, they go to hunt these lions. These lions are actually on display in one of the museums in Chicago, I believe it is. I'd have to look it up to know that. But they say that if you go and you see them, you can actually like see the evil in their eyes as you look at their stuff. Obviously, they got them. Not to spoil the movie, but I mean it's a true story, so you could, you know, read about it on your own. But anyway, so I did almost pick that movie because that movie is very, very terrifying, and I've seen that movie. Probably around the same time I first seen Jaws, which was Probably junior high age, somewhere around 12 or 13. Unlike Hayden, I had some adult supervision and didn't get to, stay up late at night and watch horror movies while
my dad. Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Porky's. So
yeah. Anyway, you know. So Jaws. I would say the scariest scene in the movie is the night swim scene. And I think it's scary because, you're out there all alone and then all of a sudden there's like this giant great white, eating you alive. Pretty terrifying. And I think, again, the first time you see this movie, obviously you're absolutely terrified because, you're like, man, I'm never going in the ocean, like, ever. Like, if that's what's out there, I'm not going. I've since grown up enough to know that the amount of shark attacks, every year are it's very rare, actually, and they're nothing like what they are in the movie. So it's not as terrifying when when you grow up, you kind of learn that. But that being said, I'm giving this like 10. It gets 10 Tom Selleck mustaches. One, it's a Steven Spielberg film, who is just one of the most legendary directors out there. Two, I think the film was like, I don't know if it was ahead of its time necessarily, but I think you could probably make an argument for it being that way. So well done, so terrifying. And honestly, like, it still kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies today, even thinking about it. Yeah, now there's another film, though, that where, they could have stopped at the first one and left the other two sequels, just left them alone.
I agree. Michael Caine could have even saved that one sequel.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. Terribly. Anyway, that's Monster Films.
Monster.
We did it. We finally did it.
We're done. That's it. Leave.
What are you still doing here?
Oh, man. Forgot to put that at the end.
Oh. Yeah?
That wasn't even the surprise.
That wasn't the surprise?
No.
Oh.
The surprise is actually like really crappy compared to that. But don't let the audience know. Oh, anyway. All right, so, yeah, as we said, that was Monster Films. Hopefully you enjoyed that. If not, sorry we ruined your day and wasted your time. But number 10, Magnum P.I.
Oh, yes. We have to – okay, so the story behind that, because you've been hearing us say that now for probably, I don't know, like
– I would say since like episode 3 or 4 maybe.
Yeah, something like that. So there was one day that Hayden and I were at work. We were actually working while we were talking, but we kept talking about our top 10 favorite TV shows. And I kept having to change my list because I like every time I'd redo it, I would forget one that I had done the previous time, and I'm like, man, I gotta start over. But every time I would start with. Number 10 would be Magnum P.I. as my favorite TV show, because Tom Selleck in the 80s, and his mustache and his short shorts,
do you see what I was saying about the Gremlins? It's those short shorts, man, and the mustache.
I knew what you were saying. But, so that's where the whole, I think we kind of built that up for kind of a let down story. But we just needed to explain why, you know, every now and then we'll just be like number 10 Magnum PI, or we talk about Tom Selleck's mustache, because honestly, like, you know, we could just say on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, like normal people, but really, like, is there anything better to compare in Hollywood than like Tom Selleck's mustache? The man sported it for like 50 years, first of all, except for a very short period of time when he was on Friends and, you know, he didn't have it and it was weird. But yeah, I mean, and it's like, it's never changed, you know, it's been the same great mustache for all these years. And in my opinion, hands down, probably the best facial hair in Hollywood. That's my hot take for the end of this episode. Is not Tom Selleck.
Gary Oldman's mustache comes close, and Gary Oldman's got a good one. What about Burt Reynolds, though?
Burt Reynolds. Okay, so Burt Reynolds probably rounds out the top three. I think Tom Selleck edges him out. You're right about Gary Oldman. I always forget about Gary Oldman's mustache, but yeah. So those are probably top three, though. I'm sticking with that, though. I'm sticking with Tom Selleck as being the greatest facial hair in Hollywood. I'm not changing it. Not changing it. So, agree or disagree. Either way, doesn't bother me. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's a good story, actually.
It is. It's a great story, right?
I feel like we've
accomplished a lot tonight.
We have, and we're accomplishing one more thing by telling you guys Halloween week, our episode. Anyway, our episode that we will upload that week will either be a special spooky announcement. Will either be us pitching horror movies, going through the beginning, the middle, and the end, or writing our own little itty-bitty short horror stories and reading them to you. So it's going to be a little different, but it's spook season, so that's what we'll be doing. Hallelujah. That's not, like, I could have been more enthusiastic about that. Hey, guys, so Halloween week, the week of Halloween, that is, of course, Nathan and I have decided that we're going to, A, either pitch a horror movie, like almost like write a script, but read you the script. We're gonna pretend that you guys are the movie execs, and we're gonna pitch a horror movie to you. We're gonna tell you the scariest moment in the film, how we're gonna really get you guys hooked in, or we're gonna write our own little short spooky spaghetti horror stories, just real small, and read them to you just as a short little gift for you filthy, disgusting people that only listen to the horror episodes of this podcast.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, where we get to kind of collaborate on this and so my wife just came downstairs. She's making faces at me while she's eating cookies. I know that's not relative to the episode, but anyway.
So yeah.
It's completely irrelevant, but, you know, I just thought that you all should know what's going on in my world, for those of you who are still listening, if anybody listens. I don't know if anybody listens. My wife doesn't listen. Like, I found out she doesn't listen. Like, I've made comments, you know, in previous episodes about her listening. She doesn't listen.
I told you, do an 80s one and I'll listen or action.
We just talked about Tom Selleck for like 2 hours and Nicolas Cage. What more do you want?
She did say if we do just like an all 80s episode that she might listen.
She did, every movie that we named today was from the 80s.
I know. Well,
Jaws was late 70s, but whatever.
Jaws was 75. But anyway, it's all right. You know.
So that's the episode. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody.
we could do a Hugh Jackman episode. She'd probably listen to that. She's a big Hugh Jackman too. Fan. got to pick her jaw up off the floor whenever she sees a picture of him. I mean, and, you know, he's a good looking dude. What can I say? But, you know, I mean, he's better looking than me, but who's not? Anyway, that's it.
That's our episode, and we are sticking to it.
We're done. I think we're good.
That's it. We're done. We're out of here.
I got to tell you, I had a lot of fun tonight.
I did too. I'm excited to do this again next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hopefully when we go to upload this, our audio issues are fixed. Our quality issues are fixed.
If not, I'm literally going to like stab myself in the ear.
That's a little unnecessary, but understandable.
Understandable, unnecessary, but understandable.
Anyway, all right, man. Well, let's just end this on a happy note.
And, on a happy note, everybody, we're back. This is season 2, episode 1. Yeah, you're feeling it because I sure am. Anyway, thank you guys all for listening. And in the great wise words of Stan Lee, excelsior, true believers. Stay tuned for the special gift I prepared for you for the end of this episode. Thank you all for listening so much, and we'll see you again next time. As always, have a good one. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to that episode of Mainlining Movies. Obviously, this is Hayden here. And I'm just coming to you maybe this is a treat for you guys. That's my intention, is that it be a treat. And possibly for some of you, this is just pure hell and terror. And I apologize. But have I got some news for you? So, you remember how I've been writing that compilation of short stories where all the short stories connect to each one in some small ways and some larger ways? Guess what? I'm 3 of 8 stories into that. I know you're probably wondering, like, you've been talking about this for a long time. How are you only 3 stories in? And then, of course, when I'm done with what I'm about to share with you, you'll probably think to yourself, that was short. What is your problem? How are you only 3 stories in? So before I even get to that, I am building my own world, and I'm trying to give my own world lore. Now, the gift I have for you today is, it's kind of part of the lore building of the world, in terms of it just kind of introduces an idea or something that exists in this world. Now, the entire book and all of the short stories are not based around this one particular idea at all. That's not a thing. I'm not writing a book about just this particular theme. So pay no mind and have no worries. Now, this is probably, I will say, the shortest short story in the compilation of short stories. And if you haven't figured it out, or if I haven't said, I don't know. I can't remember back an entire 2 minutes. I'm going to read to you one of my short stories. Now, again, you don't have to technically read these short stories in the order that they are presented to you in the book once I am finished with it. They're actually, like, there is, I believe, a chronological order. And maybe once you guys, if you guys ever get to read it, we'll see that there is a chronological order, but they're not presented to you as such. They're presented out of order, kind of like Star Wars. So I'm drawing homage there, just like the prequels came after the originals, and also the Clone Wars TV show, unless it was this actual story arc, all the episodes were presented out of order. So here we go. I'm going to read to you a short story. I'm not a professional reader. If I stumble on my writing, I apologize. I'm just going to read it to you as if, like, you were right next to me. I'm not going to do things to spice up or put emotion into it. Like, I'm just going to read it. And if I do put a little bit of emotion into it, if I do spice it up a little bit, I apologize. It's just who I am, I guess. So that was a really long 3 minutes just to tell you. I'm going to read you a short story that is very, very short. It's a micro story in this compilation of short stories. So please enjoy. The Night, Part 1. The sky began to dawn as she walked slowly into what would be, completely unbeknownst to her, her final resting place. The strumpet knew there was something off about that man. His oddly pale face and icy cold skin, the way that he moved with an almost glide. Something had to have given it away. And yet still she was ignorant up until the end. All the poor woman wanted to do was make a bit of corn. Just enough to leave this awful town. Even if that meant selling her body and becoming a lady of the night. It wasn't as though there was anything else she thought she had to offer. Unfortunately for her, this is where hope would land her. Clutching her neck as she turned ghastly pale, having lost a significant amount of blood. She'd only thought them to be legend, and it paid the price for her ignorance. It wasn't as if she denied their existence, just that she really thought them all to be gone, and therefore legends. That night, however, one had come out of his slumber and decided it was time to feed. The minstrel saw him out of the corner of her eye, standing at the counter of the local tavern. She thought he was rich, seeing as how he was wearing such an old but very well-kept black coat with bright silver buttons. He also wore about a dozen silver rings, spanning both sets of fingers. At first glance, one wouldn't notice such small details as his abnormally thin fingers or very sharp cheekbones. They would only notice the money to be made. She took the opportunity presented before her, as any other woman in her line of work would. He agreed before she even got the chance to open her mouth. He aggressively grabbed her by the arm and led her outside and around the tavern to its rear, all very large signs something strange was at play. The woman, however, just assumed this is what it was gonna take to put him in the mood. Some clients needed that extra something to get their fun started. This seemed much more clear to her once they reached an ideal spot. The pale man thrust her against the outside wall of the tavern. She hit it so hard, it took her breath right out of her lungs. Before she knew it, the man was rapidly kissing and licking her neck. Her arms wrapped around him as he continued his tongue frolicking on her neck, but they soon gripped him tight. A piercing sensation of pain had struck her in the side of the neck. Thinking he might have gotten a little too carried away and accidentally bitten her, she squeezed him tight to signal for him to stop. The man continued as if impervious to her tight grip, placing a hand on her bottom and one at the nape of her neck, pulling her in closer to him with a relentless force. She did her best to fight back, but grew incredibly weak very quickly. She almost felt intoxicated, though not a single drop of alcohol had entered her system that night. It was as if she was suddenly very tired and weak all over, with a sense of almost calm filling her body. She began to feel very warm, as all of her muscles relaxed in her entire body. The pale man released his grip on her, almost as quickly as he had tightened it, and watched as she slumped and fell to the ground. With what little strength she had left, she tilted her head up just enough to see him in the air high above her. Dark and incredibly large, leathery-looking wings that glistened in the slightly disappearing moonlight had sprouted from his back, had spanned roughly 10 feet in length. With a loud and forceful flap, they carried him higher into the sky, until he disappeared into the night clouds. As she recollected the hour prior, the wench stumbled and began to vomit as she still held her neck, the smell of manure and wheat in the air. Her now pale skin began to burn, hotter and hotter, as though her entire body had been lackadaisically tossed into a fire pit. The pain only made her puke more as she outstretched an arm to grab hold of a hitching post. She looked to her right and saw a man standing outside of what could only have been his home. Desperate, she removed her hand from the post and tried to hail him
as he turned his head, only for her hand to burn a bright red and turn to ash as the sun rose higher and higher. With a raw throat, no words could escape her. It was then she knew exactly what the man was. It was then she knew she'd been turned. But her realization came too late as she faded to ash, and all that remained of the once hopeful woman was a pile of clothes on the dew-covered morning grass. Her hopes and dreams of leaving the town of Rogel's died with her in the middle of it. It's almost ironic. The strumpet did everything she could to get out of the town of Rogel's, and in turn, it ended up killing her. There are no happy endings in Rogel's. Although a bit of an understatement, it's true nonetheless. Rogel's is the town in the sovereign state of Evroni, in the country of Alaric, and it has a reputation for being where one's hopes and dreams, relations, both marital and plutonic, go to die. As a matter of fact, it's where all things living, whether that be human or vampire, come to die. One can wish and dream for a better state of living to make its way to the quiet town, but that's all it'll ever be, a wish or a dream. An outsider, perhaps a feeble-minded child maybe, would think the sovereign state of Evroni to be home to other towns besides Rogel's that offer more to this world of Medar. And those who think, well, it's best they not make a living doing such. Were they to receive payment for their thoughts, they ought to be paid moments to live. For such foolery will make even the most incestuous bloodline of royalty appear to be astronomers. Rogel's is just as any other town, just as any other town, is just as Rogel's. An absolute shithole. There are no happy endings in Rogel's. So that's just a small little story. I definitely can't read aloud for anybody with no practice or preparation or anything like that. But anyhow, that is called The Night. That is part one of The Night. That is probably the shortest short story in the entire thing. And again, it's just a very rough draft. I would like everybody to be as critical as possible. If you enjoyed it, let me know. I could probably read the first one and maybe the third one for you if you enjoyed it that much. If not, I understand. I've got a lot of work to do. This is my first, like, big little project of things. So, you know, I just appreciate any and all feedback that you guys can give me. And in case I deigned to mention the title, it's literally called In the Country of Alaric, a compilation of short stories with three little periods slash dots, whatever you want to call them. I know it's periods, but some people would call them dots, with three periods at the beginning of in the, you know, like it's before that, just because I think it's funny. But yeah, so that's just a little insight into what I've been writing. That being said, that is the shortest one. The first one is definitely the longest. And the third one's probably going to be longer than the first one. It's just, I'm building a world, I'm building lore. And so now you know that vampires do exist in this particular world of mine. So anyway, thank you all for bearing that if you stuck around. If you couldn't handle me reading it, I don't blame you. But, you know, thank you all very much for listening, and I appreciate it. Any and all feedback would be greatly appreciated. So. We thank you for listening, Nathan and I do, to this podcast. And as always, Excelsior, true believers, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye. You're still here. What are you doing here? The show's over. Go home. Go. Get out of here.